Good morning. It is Wednesday. Yay! It's hump day. It's April 17th, 2019. And this is Real Life Moms by Laura Hurd. And I am Laura Hurd. And thank you so much for joining me. It seems like our time together is getting fewer and farther between, but I just want to thank you for continuing to support this ministry by just tuning in whenever I get a chance to share some thoughts and encouragement with you. It really does mean a lot when I see that people are listening or sharing the podcast. There have been other women that I follow in this special needs community that have shared my podcast with their listeners and their supporters, and that is so greatly appreciated. And I don't know what the future holds for Real Life Moms by Laura Hurd. I do know that I just want to be led by God, and He has been ministering to me and kind of leading me down a path to possibly write a book. This has been going on for several years, within the past year more so, and then it's like it almost becomes a burden to where you can't bear and you don't want to bear, and you're like, you have to give in. And that's really what happened. Anytime God wants us to do something and we kind of keep walking away from His plan, as a Christian, you know, becomes such a burden that you want to share, and your will, His will aligns with yours finally, because our free will tends to kind of go in the opposite direction toward our fleshly desires. At least that's the case for me. So we have to constantly be, you know, in His word and humble ourselves and be willing to take those steps of faith. And so hopefully that will work out. I don't know how long it's going to take. Right now I'm still in the stages of deciding what that book is going to look like. Will it be a devotional? Will it be a special needs children's book? Will it be just a book about our journey? I don't know yet, but be in prayer for that. And again, just thank you all for listening today. I just wanted to hop on and share with you all something that I shared on my personal Facebook page this morning, some scripture I had on my mind, and just some trends that I'm seeing in our community and that have been, you know, something that I've had to struggle with myself, because anytime we're in the world, you know, we're going to see people, even other Christians, doing things that we think, oh, okay, well, this might be a good idea. And we might feel like it's okay to go down a road that they're going down, because maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it looks like a good thing on the surface, when, you know, we really have to look at God's heart in the matter of everything that we do in life and be led by His word and His, you know, be obedient to Him, really. And and we can even look at what history has proven to us in a lot of these cases, when we think, oh, well, this is okay to do. Maybe it's a worldly thing that doesn't, you know, technically have immediate consequences, but could possibly have consequences in the future that may not seem detrimental at the time, but it could be spiritually for us or even our children. So that's something that I've had, like I said, I've struggled with in a certain area, and, you know, God just keeps drawing me back. And he's worked through my husband, and then he worked through another person that I spoke to just the other day about this topic. And I'm like, yes, you know, we're not alone when we decide to go against the grain of what the world is doing. And it's encouraging, because a lot of times I think Christians can feel alone in their decision making. And for me, where, you know, there are other women, I believe, in my life that just, they're just so strong in their walk of faith. And I'm like, I feel like a babe sometimes. And I think that ebbs and flows. And in our lives, in every Christian's life, I think there are times when God has us learning and at a lowly place of learning. And I'm not saying that learning is any less greater than maybe someone that has learned more and is walking forth. I'm just saying that, you know, there are times when we do need to stop and take a step back, and God puts us in a place to where we're learning, maybe through a circumstance in our life or what have you. But we do need to be sure that we are continuing to stay in His Word through these things and not go off the path or just completely turn away from the church and God. And that was kind of touched on in our Sunday school class this past Sunday. And that was very encouraging to be reminded of that, you know, no matter what, we can be on these spiritual highs where we're on the mountaintop, or we can be in the valley, but don't walk away from Him. So getting back to what I had, this thought I wanted to share, and I'm just going to read what I wrote, and I'm thinking this will come across okay here in the podcast. So when you think about dreams for your children, what first comes to mind? So when you're thinking about your kids, where they're at now, what are your dreams for them? And I have been thinking about this as Carter, my oldest son, he's 11 and he'll be 12 in July. And as he gets older, these are things that I'm starting to think of about his future when he becomes a man. So do you think about them having a good job that supports their family? Is that a dream that you have for your children? Maybe a dream is them marrying someone whom they are equally yoked, someone that is a Christian as well, that has a heart to serve the Lord. Are these some dreams that you're thinking of? Well, this goes back to what I said about maybe the things we don't realize have implications that we do now, but will in the future. They don't seem as pressing now, but they may in the future. And this is where, you know, God doesn't, it's not a burden to that makes us feel like we're enslaved or chained to a doctrine that preaches, I don't really know how to explain that part, but it's not a bad burden. This is where our obedience goes hand in hand with our love for Christ and what He did on the cross, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die a brutal death on a cross. And I mean, He was crucified. And if you go and look that up, then you're going to get a better understanding of what crucifixion, look up the word crucified and look up history of what crucifixion. I mean, it was a painful, embarrassing, a humiliating death. And those are just very brief words, but when you go into study, and it really drives home how much God loves us, and, you know, because He did that for us. And once we come into a saving relationship with Him, it just really bonds that love, and it causes us to want to serve Him and serve others through Him and His strength, and give them that love, that same love that was poured out on the cross through His death. And so that's why they say, there's a hymn, and you all probably know it, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" And that's what that means. Is that if you have repented and had turned your, you know, you repent and believe in Him, then you know you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you are saved and for eternity. So that's the most important thing. That's what we should be living by. And so when it comes to our kids, it's no secret that our kids, they learn more from what we do than what we say, right? We can tell them all day long about being Christ-like. We can talk to them. It's like, you need to be Christ-like, do this, do that. But if we're not demonstrating this as their parents, because we're the ones that God has entrusted, then all of that, all of our words are just going to, I mean, they're just going to be like vapors. And it's just before they even reach the hearts of our children, it's our actions are going to cancel those words out. And kids are the best lie detectors, and often they will call us out on it. And if they are not calling us out, you can be sure that their hearts are still being shaped by watching what we do to see if it aligns with what we say. If we say, put God first, then shouldn't we be modeling this for them? It is a lesson I have had to reteach myself as I have become better able and had a better opportunity to be in a position to do what I have said to my son since he was born. And what that means is that I've been caring for our youngest son who has autism. And it physically pulled us away from the church because he had very high anxiety. We had to kind of find our balance with that. And we were leaving church after Sunday school because if he stayed in the room too long, then it just caused him extreme anxiety. And I think that we are going to be able to stretch him even more in the coming years to where he's going to be able to stay in an environment like that. But our church has offered us a support of a sensory family special needs room. They call it the Grace Room. And my husband and I have had the opportunity to exercise our service and faith in a more tangible way for both of our sons because of that support system that our church saw that need and were able to stay on campus. And you wouldn't think that that is a big deal because we are in this room alone. We have been alone up to now. You know, hopefully there's going to be more families that take advantage of this wonderful service and support for special needs families. But it helps us feel connected. You wouldn't believe how just staying there, we're downstairs while everyone else is up worshiping, but we do have a live stream being fed into the room on a TV, and it's in real time. And I mean, that helps us feel connected. It's unbelievable and it's amazing. And it is a huge, huge blessing. So, you know, and I'll just go on to say that I was thankful for so many things this morning, but most of all for God's, it says, the word of God is active and living, and it's basically a double-edged sword that pierces the marrow of our bones. So it goes deep and it sticks and it flows through our being. It's our soul. And that's the Holy Spirit. When we are learning about His ways and as we walk in faith and obedience, then I think that marrow is is going to get richer and richer. And it pours out of us into our actions and our, not just our words, but our actions. And so, you know, and after I wrote that, I got to thinking about how some people are turned off by the word obedience or being obedient, you know, because it could come bring to mind, you know, doing things in a strict manner out of a have to rather than a love. And you do it because you want to do it because of Jesus's death on the cross and your love and His love. So I wanted to share this scripture with you because it's not about rules and restrictions. And, you know, if we think about the Pharisees in the New Testament that had these rules and, well, you can't do this because this, it was more of a, it wasn't of the heart. It was all a show, really. And that's not what it's about. It's about, well, let me share this scripture with you. This is in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm just going to read this chapter. The one verse that I really want to highlight is further down, and I'll kind of talk about that when I get there. So, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, And so that word prisoner, you know, it makes us think about, what does that make you think about? Being in prison, being in a enclosed tiny cell or in chains. But it's quite the opposite when we're a prisoner of God. I beseech you to walk worthily of the calling that you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And so that highlights and that kind of touches on the later verses. So I'm going to skip down. So it's talking about love, forbearing one another in love. And how can we do that when we walk in the Spirit, dealing with people? It's hard sometimes to walk in love, but you know, we can. He gives us the ability to do that through the Holy Spirit. So, and so this is verse 11. He says, and he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So that kind of tells me that, hey, you know, we're not all alike. We're not all going to have the same gifts and talents or abilities that he has given us as our calling, or what we're, the work that we do in the church and the service. And that's okay. You know, what one person God has called to do, the other person may be totally turned off by that and think, well, that's, you know, not the right way to go about that. But if that's what God has called us to do, to be an evangelist, maybe the next person might not understand that. But they, you know, I feel like that we will grow in our understanding of the
thank you.
You're welcome, honey. What God has called us to do, and be able to build each other up in the body of Christ as we mature in our faith. So, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. So that's talking about spiritual maturity. And to the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ. So that's, you know, this is our spiritual journey and our sanctification. That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error. So stop right there. And so if we're carried about by the sleight of men and craftiness, and that touches back, going back to what I was saying about when we're in the world, how it's very hard to, it's easy to be deceived by something that may look good on the surface now, but may actually have even eternal repercussions. So it's very important that we are growing and maturing in our walk with God. So this is the verse that I was referring to when I had read and wrote, after I wrote that, what I shared on my personal Facebook page. And this is actually our church's, our verse that we kind of cling to, and it's a subheading to the name of our church. And it's Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. And so verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplieth according to the working in due measure of each several part, making the increase of the body into the building up of love, of itself in love. So not only that, let's see, but so that's really what my heart message was with that, not something that, you know, you have A, B, and C, and you do this, do not vary from it, because this is what you're supposed to be doing, and more of a chain-like bondage and message, because that's not God's message. That's the Pharisaic message of works, and you have to do this to be holy. Don't forget to wash your hands. In the New Testament, it talks about how they didn't wash their hands and they're unclean and they're that's not holy, or they didn't do a certain act of obedience in a certain way at a certain time, or they did it on the wrong time on Sunday. They healed a man on Sunday and oh, that was wrong. Because that's not the way we do things around here, because that's not holy. So I hope this is making sense and I'm not sounding like a crazy person. I think you kind of get the gist of the message. So, and then we're going over to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6. And now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in a land that you go and possess it, that thou might fear Jehovah thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, all the days of their life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, and observe and do it, that it might be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Jehovah the God of thy fathers has promised unto thee, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, so, and that goes into, and these words which I command thee this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and will talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be, it says, frontlets between thine eyes, and this is an ASV version. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. And I've translated some of the words, the thys and these in that. But I feel like another version would probably have already done that. So anyway, so that just goes back to, you know, we use the Old Testament as the tutor for God's heart. And, you know, and that just all kind of flows back and forth like a bow tie, and it's all connected. So, that's really all I wanted to share today. And I did share a message with Real Life Moms by Laura Hurd on Facebook. I did a live video yesterday about it was more pertaining to our homeschool journey and our autism journey. And if you want to go and check that out, I just had a hard couple days, Monday and Tuesday, and I just shared some things that I was experiencing with that, and maybe that might help you feel like if you are a parent with a child with autism and listening to this, you know, I had a lady reach out to me that has a child with autism, and she actually homeschools as well, and she mentioned how it was nice to see, and I mean, it just helps you feel like you're not alone, you know, and not all of us do have a community of special needs parents that we can be involved in. Sometimes we can't leave our homes, you know, so I think the internet has given us a wonderful opportunity to be connected in that way with other parents walking the same path. And it's so nice to feel like you're not alone, when maybe in your house, a lot of times in your town or whatever, you do feel alone because maybe you don't have those connections or support systems there. So if that's the case, you know, I encourage you to go check that video out. Just scroll down a little bit. It was posted yesterday around midday. So, and hopefully this podcast has been an encouragement to you, maybe a reminder. It's always nice to have friends in our lives that speak truth to us. And I did, I shared a meme on Real Life Moms Blur, heard on Facebook, that spoke those words, you know, find a friend that even in her pain, she remembers God. You know, you're going to need her in your life. And that's so true. We need friends that when we do feel alone, remind us that we're not alone, and give us the words of God to help us along the way. So thank you again for being patient with me. I do wish I could come to you more often, and I do want to more often, but just I'm not allowed to right now because of things that are going on. I just don't have time. And so I am still doing a book giveaway. If you're interested in that, I've still got some books that I'm going to be giving away in honor of Autism Awareness Month over on Real Life Moms by Laura Hurd. And I'm just doing it on Facebook. I do share on my Twitter account when I'm doing it, but you have to comment on the post on Facebook, and I give information on how to do that. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and God bless you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.